Before we get started, I'm just going to pray. Invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into this message. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you for everything that you have planned for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for what you're releasing in this time. We thank you for how you are calling us as your body into this time, Lord, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to remember who we are, Lord, and to walk and rise in you. We invite your presence here today into this message. We invite your spirit of wisdom and revelation to illuminate for us and teach us the things that need to be said to our spirits today. Lord, I ask that you would open the scriptures to us. You'd reveal to us the things that we need to hear, the things we need to understand today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, Pastor Dan was holding up that red and green sheets of paper this morning, and a bunch of the kids said, "I think about Christmas when I see red and green." Which is a perfect segue, because usually this time of the year, we'd be asking you to start to pack up boxes for Operation Christmas Child, and we'd be gathering them before Christmas so we could ship them out. This year, we're not gathering physical boxes, we're actually doing virtual boxes. So Samaritan's Purse has opened up a whole thing where you can go online, you can basically stuff a box online and get that sent to a children. Actually makes it a little bit easier for us to track that as well. So we encourage you, go out to our website, and if you go to our Get Connected page, there's a whole spread there about Operation Christmas Child. We're trying to get 60 boxes together this year. I'm hoping we can do more than that, but we encourage you to get out there and do that and reach out to kids across the world right now. They're in uncertain times. There's a lot of craziness going on. A box like that just demonstrates that the Lord still loves them. Time. Before him, as we're in this uncertain time. And just like much of the rest of 2020, things are just still kind of up in the air. It didn't go the way everybody was thinking it was going to go, and we're still waiting to see what these results are going to be. So in the midst of that time, it's important for us as the body of Christ to continue to be praying for our country. Helps plot the course for the next teaching of us about in this season. Because it's not just about the election, this prayer and fasting that we've been doing, this time going on too. Because I truly believe God is calling his people, the body of Christ, back to him in a major way. He's restructuring many of us. He's strengthening many of us. He's dusting off a lot of the stuff that we've been carrying around as baggage for a long time. God's been shaking us, and he's been shaking the nations in this season. And he's continuing to shake them. And when things shake, and God, what ends up happening is we start to draw closer to him. We start to draw tighter and cling to him ever more. And I love what Pastor Dan was doing up here today. He was talking about the stop and go, the stop and go, the stop and go. And he brought up from John the story about how Jesus challenged them. You keep coming to me because you think I'm going to feed you food, natural food. But you need to be coming to me because I am the bread of life. And that's so much about what God has been sharing with us in this season. It's not just about the physical things that are around us. It's not just about our comforts. It's not just about our politics. It's not just about the virus or any of that other stuff. God keeps calling us back. I need to be your focus. Structures that are in your life that you've been trusting in, that you've been putting your hope and your faith and your comfort in, they can evaporate in a moment. But what matters is your relationship with me, your commitment to me, and your fidelity to me. So I'm going to walk through some of the themes of the prayer points that we've been going through over these past 40 days. The first one, with repentance for sin. God been at ourselves before him. He calls his people to He's called us to turn ourselves, align ourselves in the act of repentance with him. And that call for hearts in America to turn God and realigning ourselves with Him. And even beyond repentance for sins, repentance putting our focus back on Him and preparing our hearts for what comes next. You remember we preached about when they're going into the promised land and how God called them to repentance in that time. Before the Spirit came at Pentecost, God had them humbling themselves and repenting and aligning themselves with His purposes and waiting on His motion to move forward. Whenever God is wanting to do something big, He calls His people to repentance. So that we're paying attention to Him, so that we're focused on what He is doing, because He's always calling us to something that's bigger than what our expectation is. We see the physical world around us. Remember, the disciples thought that Jesus was going to bring a military or a new governmental structural reordering to the natural kingdom of Israel. But God had bigger plans than that. His perspective is eternal. He's always looking from the position of eternity. He tells us that His thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. His ways are bigger than our ways. And He's calling us up to see from His perspective. That requires us to repent. That requires us to prepare our hearts. That requires us to get in line with Him and remember that He's the one that's in charge. Together in Christ. Because we're set apart from the rest of the world. We're a sign and a symbol to the rest of the world. We're the body of Christ. And He wants us to be in unity with one another. He wants us to be able to hear Him and obey. We cried out to the Lord for His healing for our land. You know, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're looking at right now. People are calling for healing. They're calling for unity. They're asking for the division to stop. But man's processes and procedures for this fall gravely short of what God can do. If there's real healing and real unity that's going to happen in this land, it's going to be because of a move of God. We're calling on Him to bring healing into this land. No politician is going to be able to do that. No party is going to be able to do that. God is the one. And He starts inside His people. Result of the election. Now, let's be clear. We are first and foremost citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And you're here as a representative of that kingdom to this kingdom. We want the blessings of God to be poured out upon the place that He has planted us. And so we ask for His blessings on this land. What about it takes place in the election because it shifts of a nation's history. An openness and a willingness to receive the gospel and propel the gospel oftentimes has to do with the laws that are there. We don't want to see people being hurt. We don't want to see what negative fallouts could happen from this. We as God's representatives in the earth are crying out to Him for peace on the other side of this. And we're now walking in the other side of this. And you can feel it hanging in the balance right now. So much is going on. Because God points out the things He doesn't want to see us happening. Doesn't want to see happening in us on the other side of a fast. We're coming out of that right now. And so I'd encourage us to be mindful of it. Because there's a tendency to go right back into it. And we see it happening in the dialogues on social media. You see it happening on the news. You see it happening between people's conversations. God says this as an example. The people say, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day you do as you please and exploit all your workers, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. We don't want to see things going to that place of quarreling, strife, and striking one another with wicked fists. We want to come out of a fast and ask for God's peace on the other side of that. First, to demonstrate love to one another. All those fruits of the Spirit that Pastor Dan and the kids brought us through this morning. We want to see that demonstrated. God says this, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. God wants to see us demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. He's always looking at what's going on in our hearts, not just our activity, not just on what's on the surface. Remember, he says, rend your hearts. Not he wants things to be going deep down in us. And out of that heart motivation, our actions come forward. So we shouldn't be going back into where we were at the beginning of the fast. We see the malicious talk, where we see people not being kind to one another, not being generous with one another, not having hospitality for one another, not demonstrating love or the fruit of the Spirit with one another. We should come out on the other side of a fast and say, we are here loving one another. We might be in disagreement. We might not be happy with the way things are, but we treat one another well. We love one another well. We demonstrate being in the body of Christ to one another. Remember, we are the standard of righteousness in the earth. That's what he's called us up to. Not because of who any of one of us is naturally, but because we are in Christ, and he gives us the grace for that. He leads us for the final results of this election. As tensions are still high, as they're mounted, not knowing where everything is going to ultimately go here, how do we prepare ourselves? How do we act? What do we do as the body of Christ? First of all, we love. We love. Love is supposed to be at the base of everything. It's supposed to be the motivation behind everything. We love because God first loved us. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says in Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and two commandments. Jesus always calls us to love. He always calls us to love. And love is manifested in many ways, but it's to be the motivation behind what we do. It's who we are. It's God's nature. And he's given us that nature as we've come to him. And Jesus didn't say, just love your neighbor as yourself, which is a tall order. He gives another commandment in John 13 after he has demonstrated the ministry of the towel and the basin as he's washed all of his disciples' feet. He says to them, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church. We're to love one another. It's the greatest sign of the inner working that God has done in us is to love one another, to be known for love, how we treat one another and how we treat those that are inside and outside the body. We as the body of Christ are called to love. Love the way that he does. Sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. When we love, we put his nature on display. He's our Father. We're his sons. We get to put his nature on display in how we love. In verse 19, John goes on to say this, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God. He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. He's called us to love. Regardless of the outcomes of this, regardless of what's being said by all the different sides, God has called us to love. For months now, we've been saying, don't be drawn to the right or to the left, but stay focused on Him, live in Him, remain in Him, align with Him, follow Him in what He's calling us to do. In Romans chapter 12, starting verse 9, I'm going to read this again. Pastor Dan read this morning. We must be on the same wavelength here with the Spirit. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge on evil. And we can do that because we can function from a place of humility. God calls us to be humble. So love and be humble. Be humble in your dealings with one another. Be humble in your dealings with those that are around you. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this, we're to imitate Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. God's called us to humility, to regard others as more important than ourselves, to not come in proud with haughty eyes, with honor, even if we disagree. Even if we've been treated badly. James talks about it in his chapter 4. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That's why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. He will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That final line there, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up, is a profound kingdom principle. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, it opens up an avenue of grace. It opens up a way for healing to happen, for forgiveness to happen, for peace to happen. When we hold on to pride, we hold on to our position and defend ourselves. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and before one another, grace comes in. It brings healing. It brings restoration. It brings favor. So he says, humble ourselves before him, and he will lift. Remember, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are Christ's body in the earth, manifested here. Our ability to be in unity amidst all the other chaos that's going on right now is a testimony to the world that we are in Christ and he is love in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of whatever is coming at us, demonstrates that we are sent by the Father. But God is saying, no, come to me. Be focused on me. Align yourself with me and the purposes that I have in the midst of this right now. Wrestling with that. How do we do that well? We're meant to be light in the darkness. Many of us are walking in confusion and disarray. People are turning to the Lord and asking for his wisdom and his guidance, for him to give them clarity in the midst of this. And if we seek his face, we will find him. We love one another. See his blessings poured out. And this stuff happens as we walk in humility. If we continue to walk in pride, thinking that we've got it all figured out, or that all the time, we're going to miss what God is doing. We have to stay humble and supple in His hands, because there's something He's teaching all of us in this time. As He shakes us, as our preconceived notions keep falling away, as things that we thought keep getting shattered and crumbling, we're going to draw closer to the Lord, and we're going to find strength in the midst of the chaos. Like those disciples riding in the storm with Jesus, asleep in the back, at rest. And He's calling us to be at peace and at rest in the midst of this storm. If we function out of a place of anxiety, out of our own work, out of our own labor, we're frustrated in this time. If we function out of a place of rest, no matter what we're facing, we'll see God pouring out grace on those things. We'll see relationships restored. Ourselves relying on God to rather than on what the world is telling us to do. There's one thing that I've learned personally in the past 8 months is to not jump into anything too quickly. My word to sit and wait and rest and look in Him and wait for His wisdom on what's taking place, how it is that I'm supposed to step. As anxiety builds, I'm having to learn how to come back to rest with Him. He says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We want to be people of the Spirit that have our sails up and are waiting for His wind to give. He said that we're supposed to be a testimony to the nations. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom preached to the whole world is a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. This is in Matthew 24 when he's talking about the end times. He's given the church the mandate to go preach the gospel. We should be sharing the gospel. Our activity is to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely, at the end of the age, place their hands on sick people and they will get well. The gospel comes with power. Power to overcome the oppression of the enemy. Whatever the devil has set in place, the power of the gospel can overcome that. Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because everyone who believes. The gospel, the righteousness of God, a righteousness that is by faith, from faith, righteous will live by faith. Regardless of what is going on in the world, whether we're in good times, whether we're in bad times, God has given us the mandate to go and preach the gospel to all creation. To live lives that are worthy of the calling to which we are called. He wants us to demonstrate what it is to live in the kingdom. What it is to love others. What it is to be humble, like Christ. It's varied the world has going on right now, but I believe there is a time and a season coming where we will see people flooding into the kingdom. That we are to, for those that are unbelievers, that do not yet know Christ, that may be involved in activities that cut against the grain in every fiber of who we are, rather than coming at them and opposing them, we should be praying for them and asking for the Lord to touch them and call them and draw them into His kingdom. God wants to get us to have a heart for the lost, installing that, and He is doing that to us right now, because He wants to bring people into the kingdom.